Hello, Bill and John and Eileen and all those engineers and whoever else is there. Well, this is apparently going to be the grand finale for us. From here, there it may be necessary to do some other things of which we'll notify you later. Now, on this show, we've got 9 guests in the studio. And we, some of them got here a little late. We haven't had a chance to check all of them too well. So, we'll have to rush a little bit right at the close of the show. I hope Bill will stand by and bear with us. I hope that Lucia won't be crowded off. I hope the song fellows, wait a minute. The symphony will sort of forgive us for whatever of their time we may take. We understand that we start at 7:04 exact, and that we return it at 7:26. That's our time. You have a different time here. We're all right, and we're getting ready now for this show, and we really hope it clicks. We worked pretty hard on this one, and we've got a little surprise or two in it.
Could the Army man bust in just for a moment? Tell you good people out there that we're going to give you a time check. At 7:03, which is local time, 3 minutes coming up, and we're going to go ahead at 4 minutes. So we shall begin 1 minute from woof. That was 3 minutes. Now we'll give you another time check at 30 seconds, at 3 minutes and 30, and another one at 3 minutes and 45 seconds, and we will go ahead 15 seconds after the last time check. So stand by, WHO. Here is a time check at 3 minutes and 30 seconds. We shall go ahead 30 seconds from this next time check. Woof. We'll call you one more time check at 3:45, and we shall go ahead 15 seconds from now.
Hello, Bill Diamond. This is Herb Plambeck speaking from a studio at Supreme Army Headquarters in Paris, and thrilled to bring you another Corn Belt Hour from this side of the Atlantic. Inasmuch as this is undoubtedly our last direct broadcast from the continent, we've made quite an effort to bring you a program of general interest. We'll report on some farm observations made in parts of Europe this week. We've got some wire recordings, and there's to be a snatch of French folk music and a word about a food depot and some interviews with some of your own folks over here. Before we go to our first feature, may I take just a few moments to join the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission and the American Dairy Association and all of you over there in saluting the opening of June Dairy Month. It's not until a person has done without that good fresh milk and butter for weeks and months that he really appreciates the full value of those tasty, nutritious foods. And some of our men away from these treats for a year or two or more, well, they certainly are going to prove that when they get back. Men like Private First Class Olin Reisner of near Murray and Private Harold Motes of Fontenelle, both of them recently liberated from prisoner of war enclosures, and a lot of others that I've talked to who expect to be home soon and who say, boy, you just watch us when we get back to the folks and the farm. We'll really hit that fried chicken and that cold milk and the peach sundaes. And they certainly deserve them more than any of us know. Speaking of dairying and other agriculture, while doing work as a correspondent this week, I had occasion to visit parts of Holland, Belgium, and France. I thought you'd be interested in these observations made in Normandy.
Hello, WHO. This is your farm editor with a brief report on agricultural observations made in Normandy, where we are now, and where some of your sons and husbands were battling the enemy just about a year ago. We're reporting in an extensive farm section using a wire recorder furnished by the Normandy Channel Base. All we have time for in this broadcast is to hastily touch on a few highlights made in a trip of some 130 kilometers in this historic section. There was no time to check with officials, and we can't handle French well enough to get much information from the farmers themselves. Consequently, these are all visual impressions. But here they are. The Normandy Peninsula is a very good agricultural area, much better than many other parts of France, with a lot more cattle than most other parts of Europe I've been in, and with farming on a bigger scale than most places here in this part of the world. Some fields actually appear to be several acres in size, and there are even some 3 and 4 horse hitches. All of the land seems to be under cultivation. The crops are the usual grain and vegetable types, with beaucoup, which in French means much, hay land, particularly clover, now in full bloom, and with quite a few hectares of rye, barley, and potatoes. The rye harvest has already started, so I've seen shocks earlier than most of you back home have seen them this year, even though the shocks are not as well made as ours. Like much of the other work here, some of the harvesting is by hand. The binders and reapers are also in use to some extent. The crops all look quite good, but much of the land shows need of additional fertilizer. Plowing and late potato planting still goes on. Peasant women and children do much of the field work, and they do it well. As for stock, the Normandy cattle, colored red and white, it's sort of brindled-like with dark brown streaking over the body and a sort of a mottled red and white head, are different from any other breed I've seen. They're rather large and apparently dual purpose. Certainly they're used extensively for dairy purposes because Normandy is a dairying section. They're not as uniformly high in quality, though, as the cattle in Holland and Belgium I've seen. They're almost all tethered out. I saw as many as 36 in one field, all of them tethered. Horses are about half Percherons, and the rest are Belgians. Most of them are pretty good. I saw no hogs and very few sheep. Farmsteads are in need of repair in many cases. All are of stone or brick construction, and generally with thatched or slate roofs. Gardens are pretty good. In orchards, cherries are ripening, and of course I've also seen a lot of the apple orchards and the hedge fences your men got to know so well during the bitter Normandy fighting last year. There's considerable evidence of war damage in some areas, with minefields still a hazard in many parts of the farm section. There's much else I'd like to tell you about Normandy, but we must not take any more time now.
Yes, there is much else to say, such as about the 5 horses we saw hitched tandem to 5 sections of hills, and the way the peasants plow right up to where the cows are tethered. Perhaps you wonder, too, about how we fared in some other sections. We had some wonderful experiences in Holland and Belgium, where we could visit with the people, as well as to see their fine work. We thought you'd find this sort of interesting. So here, by wire recording, is our way of telling you how we do the job. This is Herb Planbeck, still in Holland. This time, bringing you a broadcast we are sure will be very different from anything else we've undertaken. We are at a Dutch farmstead, a rather a nice, attractive place, perhaps a little larger than the average. We stopped here because the barn looked to be quite typical in that it has a thatched roof, is of brick construction, has the green shutters. There are a few windows out of some of the, or rather panes out of some of the windows, but it's a very neat place. There's a cupola on it, and we see there a little weather vane showing a dairy cow, indicating, of course, this is a dairy farm. The home is in another building, which is also a part of a barn, as is typical here for this country. This place, we're told, is known as Hoover Diepenberg. I found in another area on the farmstead a silo and a hog barn and one or two other buildings. On stopping here, though, we found there's something very unusual with this place. It has been occupied by enemy forces for several years. And so, in inquiring further, we found there was an interesting story here, and here we are to try and tell just a little of that story. The Nazis are gone now, thank God, and the folks who belong here, the farmers themselves, are back. They're with us here, the husband, the wife, and the 3 small boys. I'm going to ask them a few questions, but they'll have to answer in their native tongue, of course. We'll attempt to give you just a little of the background on how we try to do interviews over here. First, I'm going to ask the gentleman his name. Kommen Sie hier. Was ist dein Namen?
Willem Zandragen.
And now, to find out when the Germans took over,
Wen haben die Deutschen dies übergenommen?
In 1942. Maar in 1940 het huis.
And the house was taken over in 1940, meaning, of course, they've had to be away for some 5 years. I'm sure the people at Pella and some of our other Dutch communities are understanding our guest here perhaps much better even than we are. Now to find out a little about the farming and the herd, I'm going to ask him how many cows he had before the war.
Hoeveel koeien hast u voor de krieg?
45.
Und was ist passiert zu den
45 Kühen?
Sie haben in 1940 9 von doodgeschoten.
He explained that in 1940, 9 of the cattle were killed, apparently for use as meat for the enemy, and the rest were apparently left here at this place. Let's find out what happened to the family. Voor bist du und dein Frau und die Kinder, wo sind sie jetzt, als die Deutschen hier werden?
Toen zijn wij naar mijn Scherland gegaan. Daar zijn we 4 jaar ruim geweest.
Op Bovier is dat weg.
40 kilometer.
They were taken away some 40 kilometers. And now let's find out when they came back. Und wen sind u wel het terugkomen?
De 24e mei 1945.
Voor 3 dagen.
Just een kort dough. In other words, just a couple of days. This is especially interesting to us. Let's talk now to Mrs. Van Drager and find out a little more about the family and the home. Let's find out the names of the children.
Wat zijn de kinderen in Norman?
Jaap, Piet, Arie.
And the youngsters, incidentally, are right here. I see them over there with their wooden shoes. I'm going to ask them to walk by here. I think we'll pick up the clomp of their wooden shoes. They're quite emphatic about it, it seems. But we do hear this sound a lot. These boys happen to be marching right by us. There's a little fella here named Artie. And he's, of course, he's kind of watching the proceedings here. Now back to Mrs. William Van Drager. Let's find out how the home looked when they came back. Wo wir dat hier in huis als u terugkomt?
Hoe is het huis gevonden?
Het was verschrikkelijk, een zwijnenstal. De behoefte hadden ze in de kasten boven gedaan. Ik heb kruiwagens vuil van boven gehaald.
She explained that the conditions here were terrible, almost like a pig stable, the way it was left by the enemy. And they are very busy now getting things ready. I saw that with my own eyes.
Yes, and there's much more we could have said on that visit, too. And about the things they told us, about the crops that were burned, and the problem of getting the cattle back, and the starting out again. But maybe that's enough for farm observations for the moment. And now that you've heard a little about French and Holland and other agriculture in Europe, let's hear a snatch of French music. A little folk number. La Valse. This music enjoyable, and I'm sure the Sunset Corner Symphony has especially found this interesting. The next few minutes of our program are intended to help you, the world's major producers of food, realize what a truly big and important job you are doing. Last Saturday, the Corn Belt Hour told about food coming in for storage and reshipping at the great port of Antwerp. Today, we're going to take you to the next point where we had occasion to the evidence of your good work. It was also in Belgium,
not far from Charleroi, and there, being brought in by rail, barge, trucks, and occasionally by air, acres and acres of precious life-giving food, a sight I wish every single farm family in America could see, for it is certainly heartwarming. When I get home, and I hope that isn't in the too distant future, I'll go into some detail about this, the world's largest food depot. But briefly, here are a few highlights. I was taken by Jeep through the area, and we really needed a Jeep, for there was lane after lane, section after section, bay after bay, food for our soldiers by the hundreds of thousands of tons, in cases and cartons, boxes and sacks, ready to be sent to the armies. There was room for nearly 5,000 stacks of food, 14 by 20 by 10 feet in size. I counted 2,505 cases of canned corn from Iowa in just one stack,